coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Man, we got a really good show for you today. Something different. We've never done this before. We are going to have Eric Shuford. He's a concealed carry instructor from North Carolina. North Carolina got their shall issue concealed carry permits back in 1995, and Eric was in on the ground floor of that, helped get it passed, and also has been teaching since 1995. So we'll be speaking with Eric Shuford from North Carolina in segments 2 and 3, and we'll be comparing Michigan concealed carry law and North Carolina firearms laws. So that will be very educational, and Eric, he's a pretty good guy. I think you'll enjoy him. All right, what have I been doing? Man, I went out hunting this morning. This was the opening day of muzzleloader deer season here in Michigan. And I froze my butt off. You know, it just keeps getting colder and colder here. I don't understand it. It was like 23, 24 degrees, something like that. And all I saw was 4 turkeys and 2 squirrels. These 4 turkeys, they were 20 to 30 yards away from my tree stand. And I got out there in dark before sunrise, so I didn't even know they were there. You know, a big turkey flies down off its roost and you don't know it's there. It'll really get your heart going because they're big and they make a lot of noise when they're coming down out of that tree. But I had a good time, just relaxed. Let me see. I've started my next novel. It's a romance novel of all things. And I wasn't really sure how it was going to go, but it's going pretty good. It is going fast. I managed to get 57 pages into this novel before I killed someone. If you've read any of my past novels, I've written like 9 novels, I think. A lot of people die in my stories. I mean, whole cities. We're talking millions. I kill people by the millions in my stories. But I wasn't anticipating doing that in a romance novel. I'm having trouble talking about tender feelings, but other than that, it's going pretty good. It's not going to be the average Harlequin romance type novel, but we'll see what happens. Okay, let's go ahead and check right with the news here. I'm here on Fox News, foxnews.com. And I read this article, and it really got my attention. Maryland woman stabbed to death after rolling down car window to give woman money, police say. A Maryland woman was stabbed to death Saturday after she rolled down her car window to give money to a woman who was holding a sign that read, "Please help me feed my baby," police said. Jacqueline Smith, 52, was killed around 12:30 a.m. Saturday while she was in her automobile with 2 other relatives in Baltimore after attending a family gathering. Smith was in the front passenger seat when she spotted a woman who appeared to be holding a baby and a cardboard sign asking for help. Quote, "This was a good Samaritan who saw an individual holding a sign who appeared to be down on her luck," said Jeremy Silbert, Baltimore Police Public Information Officer. So they stopped the car and gave her money. You know, folks, I have long recommended that people not do that. I know your heartstrings are being tugged. And, you know, a lot of you are Christians. You can just think, hey, it's a Christian thing to do to help people who are down on their luck. Folks, I'm here to tell you, not all of those people are down on their luck. People would have you believe that, you know, they lost their job, something bad happened to them. A lot of them, they just have drug and alcohol problems or they're mentally ill. And it's not safe for you to stop and give them money. It's just not safe to do that. especially if you're with your family. Do not roll down your window and give them money, no matter how tempted you are. And I got to tell you, I feel guilty when I drive by and don't give them money, because I was raised to help people who are down on their luck. But I know that most of them are alcoholics, drug addicts, and that money that you give them, it's going to feed their habit. You are not helping them, and sometimes they don't help you either. Ask Jacqueline Smith from Baltimore. After Smith rolled down her window, an unidentified man approached their vehicle to thank her for her kindness, police said. The man then allegedly tried to steal Smith's wallet, leading to a struggle before he plunged a knife into her chest. The man and woman fled the scene, and Smith's family rushed the 52-year-old to the hospital, where she later died. The attacker was described as a man in his 30s, about 6 feet tall, with a goatee. The woman, who appeared to be in her 20s, was about 5 feet 4 inches tall and was last seen wearing a brown jacket. You know, it's not unusual to put a woman out front because she is less threatening. People are more likely to stop and help a woman than they are a man. It's a ploy. It's a tactic that these people have been using for century upon century. Don't get sucked into this, especially you older folks. You know, us older people, you know, 50 on up, we were raised in a society where you stop to help people. You can't do that anymore. Don't do it. Call 911 if you think someone needs help. But don't stop and let someone kill you. All right, what else do we have here? Here's one from Harvard, about a Harvard grad student here. This is on Fox News as well. Harvard grad student told to move out after roommates find her legally owned firearms uncomfortable. A Harvard graduate student was told she has to move out of her apartment after her roommates found her legally owned firearms uncomfortable and anxiety-inducing. Layla Perney, a 24-year-old Alabama native, told the Washington Free Beacon that she felt roommates violated her privacy after searching her room without her consent and then confronting her over gun ownership. Well, Layla, welcome to the North here. Boy, you're not in Alabama anymore. They violated her Fourth Amendment rights, illegal search and seizure. When I asked them why they were in my room to begin with, they each came up with completely contradicting stories. But one comment struck me in particular. We saw that you had a Make America Great Again hat, and come on, you're from Alabama. So we just kind of assumed that you had something bad, right? Oh, gosh. I asked why they didn't just call me and ask me before intruding. One of the girls responded that fear took over her body like a demon, right? And she felt compelled to search my room until she found proof. Ah, that is sad. You know, you can't make this stuff up, folks. Maryland, it's a whole other country. This prompted her roommates to contact the landlord of the apartment, with one saying the presence of firearms makes others uncomfortable. Well, then they should have moved out. Quote, we discussed with Layla that all of us are uncomfortable with having firearms in the house, and that their presence causes anxiety and deprives us of the quiet enjoyment of the premise to which we are entitled. Entitled. There's that secret buzzword. You are entitled to feel safe. Folks, you are not entitled to feel safe. You know, you have to work to feel safe. You're not even entitled to be safe. You've got to protect yourself, which means you got to have a gun. So they deprive this woman of her right to self-defense because they're stinking snowflakes. They're entitled to feel safe. You know, someday, and this will be poetic justice, someday those same roommates, they're going to get mugged, they're going to get raped, they're going to get attacked in some way, and they're going to look back on what they did to poor Layla from Alabama, and they're going to go, man, maybe we were a little hard on the Alabama girl here. Dave Lewis, the president of Avid Management, the landlord, He said, since it's clear that Layla wants to keep her firearms, it would be best for all parties if she finds another place to live. You know, it's not best for Layla. Gosh. Oh, boy. That is so sad. Layla said, nobody has bothered to ask me the question, well, why do you want to have protection? Could it be because you've experienced something where you need to protect yourself as you see fit? She said, noting that she was in a physically abusive relationship in the past. I have a real and legitimate reason as to why I want to protect myself. You don't need a reason to protect yourself. I mean, she obviously had one above and beyond, you know, the norm. But folks, hey, coming to a city near you. Aren't these cities great? All these places where they want to take away your guns, take away your right to protection. Give me the country. Give me the country life. Send me back to Green Acres. Remember that old sitcom? What was it? Eddie Albert and Ava Gabor. Green Acres. Send me back to Green Acres, folks. And no, that's not a rest home. Okay. Well, folks, we are about out of time for this segment of the Home Defense Show. But when we come back, we are going to be speaking with Eric Shuford, concealed carry instructor from North Carolina. We'll be comparing North Carolina gun laws with Michigan gun laws. Should be very educational and enlightening. Okay, we got a two-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out elitefirearms.us and firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Cedar Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today I am speaking with Eric Shuford from North Carolina. Eric, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Glad to be here, Skip.
Well, now, Eric, you know, we have been online buddies for a couple of years now. We seem to have a lot in common. You know, we're both concealed carry instructors. But for the benefit of our listeners here, why don't you just tell us about all things Eric Shuford. Who the heck are you?
Okay. Native North Carolinian, originally born and raised in North Carolina, went to NC State University. So that's the Wolf Pack for all you folks up in Michigan. And from there, spent a few years in the Army, military intelligence, and then got out and spent about 35 years with Carolina Power and Light as an engineer and retired about 15 years ago. While I was with Carolina Power and Light, I was kind of the local gun nut. I was involved in a lot of shooting clubs, competitive shooting. When the North Carolina finally adopted the concealed carry laws for North Carolina, that was in 1995, I was in one of the first classes that certified instructors to teach concealed carry in North Carolina. I've been NRA member since 1972. I'm a senior training counselor for whatever that means with the NRA, but it essentially used to mean that we could teach NRA members to be instructors and still can. Kind of retired from doing that. I've got a couple of other training counselors that are doing that for us now. And so I'm kind of overseeing the operation of our local public range that we have here in Wake County that is shared by law enforcement and the public. And we put on a number of classes at that range, including the concealed carry qualification class.
Well, you know what, Eric, the more we talk, the more I realize we just have more and more in common. You were in the Army, and I was in the Marine Corps. You were in military intelligence. What exactly does that mean?
Well, some people say that is an oxymoron, I guess it is,
yeah.
On that. But we kind of, you know, call that, I was a spook. I was in the electronic intelligence even back in the 60s. We were listening in on people's telephone calls and communications, and I was more involved in the end of securing communications from the snoops.
Yeah, so you probably did some time somewhere over in Southeast Asia?
Did not get over there. I ended up with a whole bunch of training and a security clearance that almost prohibited me from going to Southeast Asia. You know, I had to, you know, shoot myself or something like that if I was about to get copied or get captured and all that. So they kept me out of Southeast Asia, but I did do a lot of traveling.
Well, you know, that would be a bummer to go all the way over there to fight in the war and then have to shoot yourself to keep from getting captured.
That would basically ruin your day, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, let me see, what else did you say? Okay, North Carolina. I did some time in North Carolina.
Camp Lejeune?
Camp Lejeune, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a big debate in the Marine Corps. You know, where exactly is the armpit of the Marine Corps? You know, it seems like wherever you are, you call it, it's the armpit of the Corps. When I was there in North Carolina, I went to an explosive school, demolition school, which are always, those are kind of fun, you know, blowing stuff
up. Oh, yeah, blow things up. Yes.
Yeah, getting paid for it, blow things up. But I remember just a lot of pine trees there. And it was in the summer, so it was very hot and muggy. But beautiful state, though, absolutely.
It has a lot of variation, and we do have a lot of military posts. There's Camp Lejeune and Cherry Point Marine Corps Station. We have Fort Bragg here. We have the Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. So it's a big military state.
Yeah. So you're like, there's only like 7 civilians there.
No, they keep moving here from up north. You guys up north get all that cold weather, snow, sleet, and all that. Every time one of those storms come through, we get another 5,000 of them moving here.
Well, you know what? If I probably, and we talk about this sometimes, if I hadn't been born and raised up here in Michigan, I'd be going to somewhere south just because, I mean, right now it's like, you know, 20 degrees up here and snowy, and I spent like 3 hours this morning out in my tree stand, you know, trying to shoot a deer. And gosh, I got to tell you, you know, I like October deer hunting better than I like December deer hunting.
October is much better on there. And it's a lot where you're born and raised and where your family is, I think, to what that is on there. I got all over the country and spent quite a bit of time in Arizona and all that sort of stuff, and that's beautiful country out there, but totally different environment than what you have in Michigan and what we have in North Carolina. But I guess, Skip, the bottom line is almost every part of the United States has its great qualities and some not so great qualities.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, up here in Michigan, this is where I was born and raised. This is where I have my friends and my family. And, yeah, it's the same for you down in North Carolina.
Exactly.
Now, Eric, you said that in 1995, that's when you got your shall issue bill passed into law for concealed carry in North Carolina. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was a few years with us having to fight with the legislature, and finally in 1995 we did get it passed through the legislature, and then of course they had to go through the administrative parts of getting it set up. And the biggest thing in 1995 was, well, how are we going to certify these people? We need instructors. And so the first instructor class that the state put on was held in the fall of 1995, and if I recall correctly, there was about 150 of us in that class. And that's what got it started. From there on, then all of us that are civilians are putting on the certification courses for the people in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. So exactly that first class, was that like an NRA class, or was it a special one for North Carolina?
No, it was a special one put on by the North Carolina Department of Justice, basically telling us, the future instructors, what it is they wanted us to teach and make sure what it is we covered and the process that we had to go through and how to order our certificates. One kind of little quick story on that was kind of funny at the time. There was 150 wannabe instructors in this class, and so one of the questions that came up in the class is, okay, we understand we have to put on this 8-hour class for people to get their concealed carry permit. What do we do about ourselves, the instructors? Because, mm-hmm. of course, nobody had a permit at that time in North Carolina. And they just kind of laughed and says, well, I guess if you're an instructor, you can kind of teach yourself and sign your own certificate.
Yeah.
So we kind of self-certified out of that class.
Yeah. Well, you know, that does make sense. And just to compare, most of my listeners are in Michigan. In Michigan, our concealed carry law didn't go into effect until 2001. And just like you, and I think probably every state, every time a state wants to get shall issue concealed carry on the books, you know, the media chimes in and some of the lobby groups will chime in and just say, hey, there's going to be blood in the streets, you're all going to die. And they tell police officers that every time you do a traffic stop, that, you know, the citizens are going to come out and shoot you. And it's just terrible. But, you know, here in Michigan, it took us, you know, probably 3-4 years of heavy lobbying to get ours passed. And pretty much the same kind of a deal. It's the same in every state. You know, I think Florida was probably the first state to pass shall issue. And I think that was in the mid-80s, 1980s. Do you remember the exact year for Florida?
No, I don't, but I do remember they were there, and I guess the trend kind of proceeded north, and eventually, and of course, there's a few states it still hasn't gotten to, but, it, you know, what is it now, Skip? At least there's 40-some states now that have shall issue.
Shall issue, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the states that don't have shall issue, it's pretty predictable, you know, like California and Massachusetts and Connecticut, you know, all the blue states that basically are run by communists, they don't have a shall issue.
And probably never will get it, and that's why they pack up and move south or move somewhere where they can get it. And so we do have a lot of people. It is funny. The folks moving from those states that moved to North Carolina, I will get one or two calls a month from somebody about, what do I have to do to get my concealed carry permit, or what do I have to do to register my firearm? And we have no registration of firearms in North Carolina, so it's always funny to get those calls.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you have registration of firearms, because Michigan does. And, you know, we got a couple minutes here, so I'll tell you a little story. In Michigan, we did not have, pistol registration up here up until several years back. And what they had, they called it a pistol safety check. And they would make you, when you bought a pistol, you'd have to bring it into the police department. And they're supposed to inspect it to make sure that it's safe, okay? Now, how they would know that it was safe, no one really knew. but basically, all they did was take the gun out, and they'd write down the serial number, the make and model, get your name and address, and then send you away. And we said, doesn't that sound like a pistol registration? Because you take all that information and you put it in a database. Isn't that pistol registration? And they said, no, it's a safety inspection. And we complained about that. And we finally got the legislation to act on it. And so instead of getting rid of the safety inspection, which was useless, they said, all right, no more safety inspection. We're going to call it a gun registration.
Oh, no.
So it's like we jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. It got worse.
It did get worse there. And there was only one county here that for a while had a so-called registration like you described, and that was Durham County, where Duke University is located. And for a number of years, they have been collecting that kind of information. But it was a paper collection, and they didn't have it in any kind of database. And they finally realized it was going to cost them millions of dollars to go into a database, so they abandoned that. So now statewide, there is no registration of a gun. You do have to have a permit to purchase a gun, but it's simply a permission from the sheriff to go purchase a handgun.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. All right, well, you know what? We are about out of time for this segment. We've started our comparison already, and we know Eric Shuford just a little bit better here. But we're going to go ahead, and we're going to take a two-minute break. And while you folks are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, ElitePhirearms.us, and see what Larry Jackson can do to help you figure out the best pistol for your home defense needs. And then also go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect yourself legally should you ever have to use your firearm for personal defense. Okay, folks, when we come back, we'll be speaking again with Eric Shuford, a concealed carry instructor from North Carolina. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with North Carolina concealed carry instructor Eric Shuford. Now, Eric, I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and I'll just raise some topics, and we'll compare North Carolina with Michigan. And this is not a competition by any means. I just want the listeners to know that, hey, not all states are the same. And, boy, you know, when we get done here, we might have a few more people moving to North Carolina. We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, we'll have to see how it is. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Stand your ground. Stand your ground law. Does North Carolina have some type of stand your ground law?
Not specifically. There's not a law that actually says you can stand your ground, but there is the intent in the law that if you cannot flee, then you have the right to defend yourself.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of a reverse of that.
But you have the duty to retreat. If you can safely flee, you're legally required to do that?
Yeah, it's a little murky in that area. It's more of an advisory type thing that if the law recommends that if you can retreat, you should retreat. But if you are in danger and fear of your life, you have the right to defend yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would do that anyways, and that's what I teach my students. You know, here in Michigan, we do have a stand your ground law. So you don't have the duty to retreat. You can stand your ground. It's very similar to the Florida stand your ground law. But, you know, one of the provisions of the stand your ground law here in Michigan is that if you stand your ground, you have to take another human life to protect yourself. There'll be an investigation, obviously. If the prosecuting attorney, the county prosecutor, if he doesn't charge you criminally, then you can't be sued civilly. And that's something we fought real hard to get into that law, because we just had too many scumbags suing, you know, honest law-abiding citizens for defending themselves. So is there anything like that in Carolina law?
There is in North Carolina. They basically kind of comes under the Castle Doctrine type thing.
Okay.
If you are in your home, and actually the law kind of expanded that as to mean your home, your vehicle, or your place of business, then there is no duty to retreat. And then the other thing in there is that if somebody is attempting to break in your home, the law says the presumption there is that individual intends to do you deadly harm, and you have the right to defend yourself without having to prove information that, you know, he was in there to really kill you. In other words, if you find somebody trying to come through your front door or inside your home, you can defend yourself then, and you don't have to prove that you were actually in danger of being killed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's pretty much the way it is, in Michigan as well. You know, the law presumes that they're to do you harm. So therefore you are automatically, veiled the use of deadly force. Unless of course it's the neighbor coming over to borrow a cup of sugar, you know.
And we have the same exceptions as unless it's somebody that normally lives in the house, or it's somebody that, law enforcement, and they announce their law enforcement, or a few other exceptions like that.
Yeah. Now I know, Eric, there are a few, states, that say that you can, and I think Tennessee is one of them, that you can use deadly force to protect property. What's North Carolina law like as far as protecting property?
No, in North Carolina, that is one of the things that are emphasized here, and we emphasize in our classes, that somebody's trying to steal your hubcap, somebody is trying to steal the bicycle out of the front yard, any of that sort of stuff. You cannot use deadly force to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And of course the key there is the deadly force. You cannot shoot somebody if they're just trying to steal your car. However, if they're trying to run you down with that car they have just stolen, then obviously you can use deadly force.
Makes good sense to me. You know, that's basically, it's the same way it is up here in Michigan. Now, okay, in Michigan, we have something called the firearms preemption law. And basically what that means is that municipalities cannot pass any firearms law that is more restrictive than state law. And basically what that means is, you know, a city or a township or a county can't pass a law that says no guns are allowed, you know, in our parks or in our administrative offices or, you know, any property, government property. Does North Carolina have a firearms preemption law?
Oh, yes. The legislature is very intent on keeping all the firearms laws within their purview, and there has been several battles over the years where town councils or county governments, and particularly in the big cities, have tried to come up with something, and they have all been struck down. In fact, the latest iteration of the revision in the concealed carry laws actually prohibited the cities and counties from passing any restrictions on parks or recreation facilities or, you know, any kind of thing like that. Earlier on, when the first law came out, you were prohibited from carrying a concealed gun into any venue where you paid admission. And,
wow.
You know, that kind of exempted theaters and ballparks and a lot of other things. Well, that, about 2 or 3 years ago, was taken away, and in that process, the counties were prohibited from passing anything. About the only thing that's left up to the cities and counties now is they can prohibit you from carrying it into their buildings, their municipal buildings or something like that. But other than that, there's not much they can do.
Okay. All right. well, as long as we're on the topic, let's talk about, we call them pistol-free zones here or criminal empowerment zones or, you know, whatever you want to call those. In Michigan, I'll name them off, and you just tell me whether or not you have the same thing in North Carolina. In Michigan, we may not carry in schools.
That's correct here, except in that recent revision, you can now have your concealed carry firearms on your person or in your vehicle if you're picking up your child or driving up to school. You can't get out and go into the school, but you can have it on school property.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way it is here in Michigan. You know, if you pull up to get your kids, they're not waiting. You've got to lock your gun inside the car and then go in and get them and bring them back out, and then you can go ahead and rearm yourself. But
correct.
In Michigan, all of the pistol-free zones, the parking lots are exempted. Is that the case in North Carolina?
Pretty much so. It's not really enforced. There have been some companies like IBM or some others that, big companies that have tried to prohibit firearms in vehicles in the parking lots, but it really hasn't been anything that I know that's been successfully prosecuted.
Okay. Well, that's good because that basically disarms people for the entire day if you can't store the gun in your car. All right, well, let me see. In Michigan, you cannot carry your gun in a church or other house of worship unless you have permission from the presiding official. Well, what is it like in North Carolina?
It's actually kind of the reverse of that. There is a law in North Carolina, a part of the law, that any business, church, or anything else can put up signs prohibiting you from carrying a firearm in there. However, if there is no sign, and it's got to be a clearly visible sign, then you can take your gun to church or any other place. We have been pretty successful here about pointing out to people that have decided to put those signs up that they are essentially creating a safe fire zone for criminals.
Yeah.
And most of that has gone away.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I think Ohio went through with something similar there. In Michigan, private property. you know, like a store or a mall, you know, basically private property rights in Michigan trump Second Amendment rights. So anyone who wants to post, make their own gun-free zone, like a store or whatever, they're allowed to do that. But it's not handled under the concealed carry. It's handled under the criminal trespass law. So basically the way it works here in Michigan, if you go into a store, they see that you're armed and they ask you to leave. If you leave, you have a law. If you say, forget you, leaving, and they call the cops, then you're in danger of being charged with criminal trespass. How does that work in North Carolina?
Essentially the same way. Any store, business, or mall can post their business and all. However, we have an organization here in North Carolina called Grassroots North Carolina that has been very successful in educating those businesses and malls and all that, that they're going to lose a lot of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all of us that are carrying are not going to make come to their business and are not going to buy from them. So most of those signs have gone away.
Yeah. I think North Carolina and Michigan were roughly the same population base. I think we're short of 10 million now here in Michigan. Any idea how many people are in North Carolina?
We're a little bit over 10 million.
Okay.
But we're right around the same number.
Okay, so it's pretty close. In Michigan right now we have 638,000 concealed carry holders. What's the approximate number that you have in North Carolina, just for a comparison?
I was afraid you were going to ask that, and I meant to look it up, and I really don't have a good number. The state's numbers here are a little muddy to get a hold of on how many actually have concealed carry permits, because they're issued by each of the individual counties in the state. Mm-hmm. And those records are kept by each sheriff, and we have 100 counties.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of hard to get a hold of, but it's somewhere in the 150 to 200,000 licensed concealed carry holders.
All right. Well, you know what? If you had Detroit, you'd probably have more, because there are parts of Michigan that are a lot more dangerous than others. Trust me on that one.
I understand.
All right. Now, we also cannot carry in bars. What about North Carolina?
That one got changed about 3 years ago, too. You now can carry in bars or restaurants where alcohol is being sold. Used to be up till about 3 years ago, you could not. The only thing is that if you're carrying in a bar or in a restaurant or any place where alcohol is sold, you, the concealed carry holder, cannot be consuming alcohol.
You know, and that just makes sense. I wish we could make that change. You know, the way our law reads is that any establishment, they define bar as any establishment that makes more than 50% of their revenue from the sale of alcohol. And the obvious question to the student is, how am I supposed to know how much they make on the sale of alcohol? And you'll never know, because they're not going to tell you, and it's not like it's posted on the door or anything like that. So it's kind of a gray area. It's hard for us to comply with that law.
Yeah, that one needs to be worked on. It was kind of more clear cut here. The law used to say any place where alcohol was sold and consumed.
Oh, okay.
And that pretty well outlawed almost every restaurant and every bar and everything that was out there. It fortunately didn't outlaw the grocery stores, because even though alcohol is sold in the grocery stores, it's not consumed in the grocery stores. But we finally got them to recognize that, and all of that went away about 3 years ago. So as long as the concealed carry permit holder is not consuming alcohol, and that's not like the driver's alcohol consumption where you have a .8 or something like that, it's a .0. Technically, if you have even had one beer, you're not allowed to be carrying a firearm.
Yeah, that's similar to Michigan. Michigan, it's you know, 0.02, and you can be at 0.02 after one drink, depending on your body mass and all of that stuff.
Right.
Okay, in Michigan, any entertainment facility with a seating capacity of 2,500 or more. What about North Carolina?
That went away, too. Again, it was, the old law was if where admission was charged, you could not carry. That disappeared in the last revision. So unless the entertainment facility puts up signs prohibiting people from carrying, then you can legally carry it to concerts or anything like that.
Okay. In Michigan, hospitals, what about North Carolina?
That one's kind of fuzzy. It's still out there that you cannot carry in an educational institution. It's so many hospitals end up being an educational institution because they have some association with a medical school.
Yeah.
So some of the hospitals can be that. My experience around here in the Triangle area is that most of the hospitals are posted. They have some little sign stuck up there that says no firearm on there, and most of the big hospitals do have their own law enforcement.
Yeah.
People.
Oh, okay. A child care or child placing agency, so like adoption agency, your babysitter. How about North Carolina?
No, I don't know of anything that addresses that.
All right.
So essentially that allows us to carry.
Good, good. A dormitory or classroom of a community college, college, or university.
That is probably falls into the education, the same education, whether it's a grammar school, middle school, high school, college.
Yeah.
All of those are pretty well prohibited.
Okay. All right. Now,
let me ask you one.
Sure.
What about, does Michigan restrict the number of firearms you can carry?
No. No, we can.
Okay. Neither do we.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. We can carry as many as you want. Personally, I carry one. with a large magazine, that's probably will.
Right, I do too. What about is the firearm you carry restricted to your permit, or can you carry any firearm?
We can carry any registered pistol. So
also, as long it has to be registered.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, you know, I hate that law. But you know, oddly enough, here in Michigan. The Michigan Attorney General just made a ruling that if you have a concealed carry permit from another state, a non-resident permit from another state, you are exempt from the pistol registration law. I do not understand that, but you know, I'm not going to argue with it. It's kind of like a way of getting around that.
Well, we have something here kind of similar. North Carolina will recognize any other state's concealed carry permit,
yeah.
Even though there are other states that don't recognize ours. But North Carolina will recognize every concealed carry permit from any state.
Yep. Actually, Michigan is the same way. It's right in our statute, and it has been since like 1927, I think. Actually, people from other states could carry in Michigan before Michigan residents could carry in Michigan, which never made sense to me.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, casinos, most of our casinos are run by tribal groups. By federal treaty, they've got their own laws and things like that. What about in North Carolina?
The Cherokee have casinos up in the mountains, and to tell you the truth, Skip, I don't know what the requirements are for that.
Mm-hmm.
It probably comes under if it's posted, you can't, and if it's not posted, you can.
That makes sense. And now a sports arena or stadium, like a football stadium or something like that.
Again, it has to be posted since they did away with the paid admission, but most of the big college games and hockey games and all do post and prohibit people from coming in armed.
Okay, is there anything in North Carolina that I haven't read off? That's what we have. Do you have any that we do not have?
Right offhand, I can't think of any. We have been pretty successful at getting rid of most of the signs, and so you can just about carry anywhere. Now, one thing we do have in North Carolina, I'd be curious if Michigan has, simply by the fact that there is nothing in the statutes, in North Carolina, any adult can carry open carry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no prohibition against open carry of a firearm. So if you don't have your concealed carry permit, you can travel around North Carolina with a handgun on your hip. And as long as it's visible, it's perfectly legal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same way in Michigan. You know, the catch there is as soon as you get inside your vehicle, a motorized vehicle, the law considers it concealed, which makes it, unless you walk everywhere, it makes it harder to open carry.
Just a clarification on that. Here, as long as you can see the handgun, you know, anywhere, even in your vehicle, the word concealed means that you can't see it. So we tell our people that you can carry a gun in your vehicle. It just needs to be laying in, on the seat or somewhere where if an officer walks up and looks in your car, they can see the gun. Perfectly legal.
You know, that makes sense to me. I wish we could get something like that. One of the odd things about open carry here in Michigan is if you have your concealed carry permit in Michigan, you can open carry in any of these pistol-free zones. So that just
really?
Yes, that just drives the liberals crazy when they see someone open carrying in one of these pistol-free zones. But
that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's nice, but there's not a lot of people who do that simply because what happens, you know, if you walk into a school with a gun on your hip, you know, their procedure is to call 911, order a lockdown, and then you got a SWAT team coming. So, I mean, yes, legally you can do that, but you still end up getting handcuffed and thrown down on the deck and a gun's pointed at you and, you know, just not a fun time. But
and that's exactly what we have here. And in our concealed carry classes, we really caution people about open carry simply because everybody's walking around now with these cell phones and they can call 911 and then the police come out and then you have to go through that exercise and then the police have to go explain to the people it's legal for them to carry in North Carolina. And we have a lot of transplants that get really shocked by seeing somebody open carry.
Before we're about out of time, but I also wanted to talk about the issuing authority. I mean, you said down there it's the county sheriff that does the issuing?
That's correct. Each county sheriff has the authority to issue a permit, and it's up to them. So you have to apply for your concealed carry permit in the county that you live in, but it's good for the entire state.
Okay. And how much does it cost for your permit?
The initial permit is $80, and it's good for 5 years. And then I'm right now where I have to renew mine for about the third or fourth time, and the renewal is $75 for a five-year renewal.
Okay. Yeah, that's similar to Michigan. We have a five-year permit, but it cost us $115. For renewal, do you have to do any additional training for your renewal?
No, you do not. You just, as long as you renew before it expires. If it expires, you're going to have to go through the certification class again. But if you renew before it expires, then you simply have to fill out the paperwork and let them do the background check, and then they'll send you a new permit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In Michigan, for renewal, you have to do 3 hours review of the original course material, which basically means you have to read the book, and then 1 hour on the range, and that's a self-certification, so you don't have to do it under, you know, an instructor or anything like that. Here in Michigan now, we have an online renewal system so that you don't have to go into the sheriff's office or the county clerk or anything like that. That just started just last week, and that's kind of nice because you can.
That is nice. Our local sheriff does have an online renewal, but you still have to show up in person because they don't want to issue a permit to somebody that's
dead.
they haven't laid eyes on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I think we have about covered it here, and it sounds to me, you know, I'll talk to someone in like Utah or Arizona or Texas, and you know, and they'll say, oh man, Michigan really sucks, you guys are like living in communist China. It sounds like North Carolina and Michigan, they're close, but I think you guys have had an extra 6 years You know, because you were in 1995, we were in 2001, and you've had six extra years to go ahead and revise and upgrade your concealed carry laws. And it sounds like you've done a pretty good job of making your concealed carry laws better. So I certainly congratulate you on that, Eric.
We appreciate it. It's not perfect, but you really have to stay after the legislatures and get them changed and get them updated when and where you can. So it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. All right. Well, Eric, we're out of time, but before we go, tell the listeners where they can learn more about your club, or do you have a website where people can go to learn about your concealed carry classes?
Here in North Carolina, we're part of the county government operation here. So they can just actually go to www.waitgov.com. That's Wake County's website. And from there, go to the sheriff's section, and there's information there about all the laws and permits and the courses and everything that we do with the county. We're real fortunate here that we have a county government that's willing to work with us and provide the training to the public.
Absolutely. Okay, well, Eric, I want to thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. We've got another two-minute break here. Go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and also elitefirearms.us. When we come back in segment four, I will be giving you the wrap-up. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Front Lines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for your Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, having a security system didn't protect a Florida woman against a break-in by her ex-boyfriend, but having an armed son did. The man approached his ex-girlfriend's house one day around 1 a.m. The woman received a security alert and called the police, but her ex fled before the police arrived. A few hours later, the man returned and, disregarding the security system, broke into the house. The woman's adult son shot the intruder as he made his way toward the bedroom of a younger sibling. The woman's ex-boyfriend jumped from a second-story window and ran. The police soon tracked him down. He was taken to a hospital and charges were pending. Police ruled it a justifiable shooting.
Thanks, Denny. There's so much to talk about in this story, but I'm going to limit it to two aspects of home defense. First, nothing good happens outside the home at 1 a.m. Here's what I mean by that.
After work is when people start to party. So between the hours of 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. is when people are out and about drinking and driving and taking drugs. Drugs and alcohol both reduce inhibitions and put people in a mind-altered state. That's when people do crazy and violent things that they'd normally think better of. And that's exactly why it's against the law to drink and drive and to drink and carry a gun. Cops call alcohol stupid juice, simply because people don't get smarter with every drink. Their judgment becomes impaired, and many Darwin Award recipients have drugs and alcohol to thank for their demise. Second, alarm systems are fantastic tools for home defense, and I highly recommend you install one if you haven't already. But don't make the mistake of thinking that an alarm system will keep someone from breaking into your home. It wasn't designed for that. Alarms are just early warning systems designed to alert you to the presence of an intruder, thereby giving you time to arm yourself and call police. That's exactly what happened in this story from Florida. The alarm put the residents on high alert, they called police, and the initial altercation was averted. However, in the end, it wasn't the alarm that saved them. It was the presence of an armed citizen with a firearm that did the work. Alarm systems are a great defensive tool, but when someone is in your home trying to hurt you, it's time to go on offense. Liken your home alarm system to the radar on board an aircraft carrier. Once the bogeys are spotted, you still have to deal with them, just as this adult son did in Florida. Set up several layers of protection around your home, including lights, dogs, alarms, locked doors and windows, and surveillance cameras. The alarm system is just one very important tool. However, it will always be your firearm that acts as your last line of defense.
Boy, do I agree with that.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. There's your host, Skip Coriel. Eric Shuford, concealed carry instructor since 1995 in North Carolina. Good guy. I'm glad we had him on the show. We learned a lot about North Carolina. It's always good when you can compare your home state with other states. The firearms laws, my opinion, I think we're pretty close. North Carolina and Michigan, politically, they're pretty close. Frankly, I think North Carolina has the edge on us. They did much better in the last elections than Michigan did. They will continue to improve and upgrade their Second Amendment rights. Here in Michigan, the next couple of years, we are going to be on defense, I fear. But hey, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Right now we're down. But we're never, ever out. Okay, we went long this week. I had a lot more that I wanted to talk about. But hey, Eric and I, we got long-winded, but there was just so much to talk about. Next week on the Home Defense Show, we are going to be speaking with Steve Doolin and Brady Schechinger from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. We're going to be talking about what is going on in the lame duck legislation right here in Michigan. Are we going to get any pro-gun initiatives passed in this lame duck session? If you want to know what's on the docket, you want to know what the chances are of getting any kind of improvement before the new Democratic governor takes over, stay tuned next week on episode 109 of the Home Defense Show. All right, folks, we are about out of time here, but if you are still looking for Christmas presents for your loved ones, go on MWTAC.com. That's Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com. That's Midwest Tactical Training. Go on there and check out our Advanced Concealed Carry Christmas Gift Certificates and also the Basic Concealed Carry Christmas Certificates. You can get those at a discount. And don't forget Civilian Combat the Concealed Carry book on Amazon.com. And then while you're there, go ahead and get the God Virus Apocalyptic Adventure Series. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!